Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Don't look down on the small thing you are doing for God, because God is preparing somebody through you. Like John the Baptist is preparing the way for Jesus. Therefore, I want to encourage all of you that please make disciples. Please pick up a sheep in the church. Disciple them. Don't give up on them. Amen. If that missionary couple give up on me because they don't see my fruit right away, they didn't see it because I was still goofy, you know, kind of not very good. Pastor Da, kind of, at that time, was not very on fire because we were not in revival. But because we want to go visit them in March, we're going to buy a ticket to go to Georgetown, Kentucky to visit them. Because they have impact on our life so much. They are 80-something years old now. You see, I want to show love to people who really have impact on my life. Amen? So, you know, brother and sister, be faithful in discipling people. Be faithful in reaching out to somebody. Some of you have been in our church long enough. Now, I'm sorry, I'm going to start to preach now. Some of you are in our church long enough. You know, for example, like William and Tracy, you can rise up. You've been Christian for a year now. You can say, I'm going to pick up some younger believer in the church. Pastor, use me. Care group leader, use me. I'm going to disciple them. I'm going to teach them. You teach me, I'm going to teach somebody else. You spend time with me, I'm going to spend time with somebody else. You know what? Maybe you are teaching somebody that's going to go and shake Mexico. You can teach somebody who's going to go and plant big church in Los Angeles. You are faithful in doing what God called you to do. Amen? Like John the Baptist. Actually, he was beheaded. His head was cut off. But he was faithful to prepare the way for the Messiah. Be faithful. Don't give up. Amen? God is using you for the bigger thing in the future. Don't look at today. God is using faithful people. Amen. Now, the Bible also prophesies that he would begin his ministry in Galilee. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 1 talking about he will begin the ministry in Galilee. And what happened in Matthew chapter 4 say, now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. Now from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So you can see that the prophecy in the book of Isaiah became fulfilled, that he started his ministry not in Nazareth, not in his hometown, but in Galilee. I remember a few weeks ago, I was watching PJ preaching to the youth group. And you know what God spoke to me? Don't treat one another in this church like a prophet in his own hometown. In other words, I see PJ come in this church from the first day that she was a young believer. And I keep looking at her as a young believer. And she will never rise up to the top where God wants her to be. In the same thing here, we need to treat each other with faith. When I see Yumi, I see many churches in her. The seed is in her. I cannot just see her, oh, a young girl, she cannot do much, she speaks broken English. Oh, you know, she will not, she's just a young girl in the church. No, 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 no. If we look at her like that, we are doing the same thing with people in Nazareth to Jesus, because they get used to him. Amen. We need to look at Yumi as an anointed woman. She is an anointed woman. And when she sings song, the anointing will come out of her. We need to honor each other, my dear brother and sister. Don't look down on each other in the church. Trust God that God can work in our brother and sister's life. Amen. Don't treat each other like a prophet in his own hometown. Amen. Now, the Bible also prophesies that Jesus Christ would perform miracles. Isaiah 35 verses 5 to 6 say, Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer. The mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Talking about the work of the Messiah. And what happened? Did Jesus perform miracle, open people's ears? Did Jesus open people's eyes, the blind eyes open? Yes, the prophecy became fulfilled. And I want to encourage you one thing to build your faith right now. What can I say something to you? Jesus said like this in the book of John chapter 14 verse 12. The work that I do, you shall do also. And greater works than this you shall do, because I will go to my Father. So in other words, you should expect to work miracles. If Jesus performed miracle, you can perform miracle. But it's about your faith. Since evangelist Mike Francine came last time, I tell you, my faith rise up. I hang around with him for a couple of days. Whew, I believe that if I'm going to minister in miracles like him, cast out demons, healing the sick, blind eye can see. Amen? So God can use Kun Chai Chan to perform miracle one day. You need to build your faith. Amen? Don't look down on that couple. Who knows? South Seattle is going to be shaken. Amen? By the power of God there. Don't be scared. Amen. So, you know, you need to believe that God, if God can use Jesus, God can use you too. It's the level of faith. Today, somebody emailed me and asked me, can I cast out demon for myself? Or should I wait for a godly man to come and lay hand on me? You know what I email back? I say like this. If you have faith that you can cast demon out of yourself, do it. If you don't have that faith, wait. Because it's the level of faith. It's about faith. Amen? Jesus walked by faith. The Bible talk about prophecy that Jesus would teach in parables. Psalm chapter 7 to 8 verse 2, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark saying of old. And it's true. In Matthew chapter 13 verse 34, this thing all taken together, Jesus said to the crowd in parables. The prophecy became fulfilled. I can go on and on all night about the prophecy. Maybe I give a few examples. Amen? I give a few examples. I cannot quote everything in here because it's going to go on all night. So many. Prophecy. Look at another prophecy that he would be raised from the dead. It's in Psalm chapter 16 verse 10. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol. Nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. It's talking about resurrection. And what happened? Jesus was resurrected, according to the prophecy in the book of Psalm chapter 16. You see, prophecy became fulfilled one by one here. Look at another prophecy. He would be sold for 30 silver coins. Specific, the number 30. Can you imagine? The prophecy for the life of Jesus Christ are so exact and detailed. Zechariah chapter 11 verse 12, and I said to them, if it seem just and right to you, give me my wages, but if not, withhold them, so they wait out for my price, 30 pieces of silver. And what happened? Judas sold Jesus for 30 silver coins. Matthew 26 verse 15, and said, what are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you? And they went out for and paid to him 30 pieces of silver. Exact number. Wow. The Bible is an amazing book, huh? If you study the Bible and you don't believe in Jesus, I don't know what to do. I think you need a brain transplant. If you study the Bible and you say you don't believe in Jesus, either you don't have brain, or you have brain but you just have a hardened heart. If you just use your brain to look at this, you know that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the Son of the living God. No question at all. So detail and so many prophecy. The Bible says that the silver coin will be thrown into the temple of God. Zechariah chapter 11 verse 13. And the Lord said to me, cast it to the potter, the munificently sum at which I am priced by them, and silver, cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Matthew 27 verse 5, and casting the pieces of silver into the holy place of sanctuary of the temple, he departed and he went off and hanged himself. So not only silver coin, but he threw the silver coin into the temple. Wow, the prophecy became true. Amen. Look at another prophecy. Jesus would not open his mouth to argue. Isaiah 53 verse 7, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, he was submissive, and opened not his mouth. Did he do that? While he was persecuted, while he was arrested, did he open his mouth and try to argue? No. He was quiet. He answered only a few questions. That's it. He did not yell from the cross, D-A-M-Y-U-O-U, or, you know, he didn't use bad words. He didn't argue. He didn't say anything bad. He just was quiet. Amen. Should we do the same thing? When people talk bad about us, when people persecute us, we should be quiet like Jesus. Amen. So I can go on all night about all this prophecy. Actually, I have so many pages here. I'm going to skip here. Now, people may say like this, oh, all this prophecy, maybe Jewish people, they maybe happened by accident. Maybe just Jesus just happened to be born from the tribe of Judah. Maybe just accidentally he was born, he was sold with 30 silver coins. It's all by accident, by chance. People can argue. Okay, I want to explain two things about this, about by chance here. Number one, if you look at the life of Jesus carefully, a lot of things that happened to him are beyond his own manipulation or control. I give you example. The place of his birth, Bethlehem. You think he can control that? That he can control his own, the place of birth? Can you control your own place of birth? You know, sometimes I kind of complain to Dada. You know, I feel bad that I should have been born as American so that when I preach, I have no accent. So that I have a big church here. So when people listen to my sermon, it will be like very smooth, you know, talk smooth, and people like the way I speak. I have no accent. People listen and, oh yes, I can go into the TV and preach the gospel on the TV as an American pastor, build a big church here. I complain. Is that right, Da? You know what Da say? Mom, he put you to be born in Thailand. That's it. You have no choice. And you have to speak accent in America. You have no choice. This is it. And I have to accept it. It's beyond my manipulation. Amen. So I have to just rejoice in my accent. And people have to bear with me. Amen. Hallelujah. Actually, one of my patients encouraged me. He turned on to internet and listened to our sermon here. And he comes to me and say, oh, I want to encourage you, Pastor Dr. Lau, your accent is not too bad. It's good. It's fun. Better than many American pastors. So I say, thank you. I didn't even ask him to say that. Okay. What else that could not be manipulated by Jesus himself? The time of his birth. Can you manipulate the time of your birth? He was born exactly when Herod was the governor of that city. Is that right? In the time that the Roman Empire was taking over the Jewish community. He cannot manipulate the time of his birth. He could not manipulate how he gonna be betrayed. Is that right? How he gonna die? Can he manipulate that? No way. He cannot born and say, hey, crucify me. No. It happened. And actually, anyway, I want to say this. Crucifixion is the way to kill the criminal that was only used by the Roman Empire the most. After that, you never see any more crucifixion. Nazi, Hitler did not use the cross. Is that right? Terrorists did not use the cross. Only the Roman Empire used the cross to kill the criminal, that prisoner. So this is amazing. One empire and then finish and done and never use again. Only for Jesus. Amen. He cannot control the reaction of people who hated him. He cannot control the place that they bury him. Is that right? All of these things are out of his control. Now, people may still argue that, oh, it's by chance. So one man he is a scientist named Peter Stoner. He published in the magazine called Science Speaks. He calculated mathematically. He calculated that if a man fulfilled 8 prophecies in his lifetime, in other words, the prophecy was given, and then this man was born and fulfilled all the 8 prophecy. What is the probabilities? You know, when you toss a coin, what is the probability of being a head and a tail? 50%. Thank you. Good mathematician. Good math. Very good. Okay. 50%. So he calculated that if 8 prophecy were given to a man and all 8 prophecy became fulfilled, what is the probability? It is equal to the odds are at 1 in 10/17. 1/10,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, millions. So if you put this amount of $1 coins over the entire state of Texas, it will cover the whole state about 2 feet deep. And out of that, you blindfold somebody and turn one coin into a special color in that amount of coin, and you blindfold and say, pick out one that coin out of that amount, one in 100,000 million millions coins. That is the probability of 8 prophecy. How many prophecy Jesus had? 300 plus. You think his life came out, what happened to him was an accident or by chance? No way. Is that right? No way. How many people are convinced now that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? Amen. If you listen to this CD, and now you are convinced that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and you realize that you are not perfect, and you commit sin, you have lied, you have cheated, you have had wrong attitudes, I want to encourage you that the Lord Jesus Christ loved you so much, and he came into the world 2,000 years ago. He died on the cross with suffering to pay for the penalty of your sin. And he wants to come into your life to become your personal God. It's very simple and very easy. You just say, God, I turn away from my sin. I want you to forgive me. Could you please come into my life, Jesus? I want to be born again. I want to have a personal relationship with God. You can pray that simple prayer, and then your life will never be the same. He is the way, the life, and the truth that you can go to the Father. I have done that. I have prayed that prayer 25 years ago, and I never regret it. Can I ask you to pray with me, those who listen to this CD right now? Pray with me that you will accept Jesus Christ into your heart. I'm going to lead you in prayer right now. Father in heaven, I admit, Lord, that I am a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I turn away from my sins, and I want to come back to you. I want to have a relationship with you. I believe, Father, that the way to go back to you is through Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Lord Jesus, I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that you are Lord and Savior. You were raised from the dead on the third day. Lord Jesus, come into my life right now. Sit on the throne of my life, and I will walk with you from now on. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Congratulations. I'm so glad that you accept Jesus Christ. Please find a good church. Find a church that teach the Bible, believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, and start to tell people that you have become a Christian. And start serving God. Amen. Amen. Now I want to come back to the lesson. Amen. This is not the end yet.
Thank you very much for coming and learning this lesson. I know that this lesson is quite intellectual to prepare you to answer all the questions regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. Several years ago when I started the church, I prepared a book that I use to teach those who don't know Jesus in the care group and try to explain to them intellectually why we believe in Jesus and what salvation can bless them and benefit them. But as time go by, I began to realize that it's not just the intellectual explanation, but it's also the power of the Holy Spirit that will convict people of their sin and help them to come into the precious salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm not against intellectual knowledge, and I believe that all the believers should learn the word and understand how to explain our belief. We call apologetics or defend our faith. However, to reach out to the non-believers, we need to show them love, and we need to depend on the anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God. We should show love to them and care for them and love them.
It's not your argument that how much theology you know. You know, it's not non-believers don't care how much theology you know. They listen to you if you care for them. It's about the amount of care and love and the power of the Holy Ghost which is on the inside of you that flow out like a river to touch life. Amen. In this trip to Bangkok, I did not have to do much of... I forgot to tell you one thing on Sunday. God told me this. After worship, I got up on the pulpit. I shared gospel 10 minutes. That's it. And asked people to accept Christ, and people raised hand and accept Christ. And then after that, I preached. And then all these people who accept Christ walk out to me, lay hand, boom, they fall under the power. And they become a new person. So I don't need to go on and on, try to convince people to believe in the gospel. I just share the gospel, simple message. Jesus loves you, you're a sinner, He's died for you, blam, blam, blam. Anyone want to accept Christ? Bow your head, raise your hand right now, boom, I pray, then done. You know why? Because God told me this. It's not about your eloquence of speaking. The gospel is already powerful. But it's about the anointing. It's about the Holy Ghost in you that flow out from you like a rivers and just pull people into the kingdom of God. Amen? So I know this is intellectual lesson and we need to know, but don't be too intellectual to the point that you just argue and fight with people and get mad at the people that you talk to. You should move in love and in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Don't argue with people without theology. Just be loving and caring and move in the power. Amen. Now, I want to end this lesson. I ask God, this is a short lesson. I don't want to teach two lessons tonight because I feel that if I teach a lot, people don't get anywhere. They just go home and forget. So I want to make sure people get message home. I ask God, what should I conclude after we study this lesson for the believers? For the believers, I want to conclude this way, okay? That everything in our life is in, through, and by Christ Jesus. I don't think that churches around the world, I'm not saying that most churches, I'd say that many churches around the world emphasize enough the importance of the person Christ Jesus. I study the Bible and print 11 pages of Holy Scripture. And if you need this, your care group leader and unit leader can email to you. I emailed to them already. And I'm going to give this to Masako because you cannot open. This, our scripture talk about, I don't know how many scripture, maybe 100 or something, talk about, I mean, if you read the writer, the writing of Paul and the apostle, you will be amazed if you study the Bible, you find that everything in our life as a Christian is by, through, and in Christ Jesus. So in other words, you cannot do anything by your own flesh. You need to do everything in Christ Jesus. Jesus must be the center. That's why if you listen to my CD, lately I produce a lot of CD. Unfortunately, more in Thai than in English, because I'm concerned about the mission in Thailand right now, that the sheep need to be fed over there. If you listen to my CD carefully, you will find out that I don't talk much about the name of the church. I don't even mention about my name that much. I didn't mention New Hope International Church or blah, 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 blah. I only emphasize Christ Jesus. Because, in fact, the name of the church caused division. Think about it. Oh, my church, this name. Your church, this name. My denomination. But in fact, if we all emphasize Christ Jesus, there is no division in the body of Christ. Is that right? There's no division. We love each other. We all Christian. Today I met a few Christians in my office. We have good time talking. Actually, today I met one man who has a business. Actually, he do it for free if people don't have money to help old people who have to go into the nursing home and have no funding. And he said that I know the way to get the government to pay for people. I say, I want your business card. I want to help Christian, you know, elderly in the church. If they need help, we can get that way to get money to go into the nursing home if they are older and no one can help them. So, you see, I and him, when we talk, I don't ask him what church do you go to. I don't even ask one question about church. You know why? Because you and I, we are in Christ Jesus. We believe in the same God. We are not about church. We are not about human's empire. But we are about Jesus Christ. So, I just read a few to you tonight to show you that everything is about Christ. Let us emphasize, let us preach Christ. The one of the reasons I love Pastor Mike Francine, he's going to come back next year just before the camp. He's going to preach either Saturday or Sunday. The camp going to be 16 to 21 next year, July. And he's going to preach that Sunday or maybe Saturday, depending on how fast he can come back. One of the reasons I like him because he preached Christ. He didn't preach about his ministry. He preached only Christ. Okay, look at the Bible say here. I give you example. It's not in the computer. That's okay. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We are justified in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8. Therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Everything come, not through Pastor Lau, not through New Hope International Church, not through organization or denomination, only in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 12 say, we are one body in Christ Jesus. Not in Paul, in Apostle A, Apostle B, Apostle C. No, in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 2, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified. How you become pure and holy in Christ Jesus. Wow. Give you another example. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. You know, we are so alive right now, not because of your goodness or because of your tithing or because you know a lot of Bible or because you are a scholar from the Bible school. No. You are alive right now because in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God who always lead us in triumph in Christ. How you can have victory in your life? In Christ. Wow. Everything is in Christ. Paul is right on. Paul is right on. Everything is in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The veil is taken away in Christ. If you have a deep relationship with Christ, the veil of your eyes will be open, will be taken away, and you begin to see the deep things in the Bible. You begin to understand the secret of God because you have an intimate relationship with Christ. I want to say this thing, and I may read more. I want to beg all of you. I'm going to preach this Sunday a sermon that people may not like to hear. But I just prepare you right now for the sermon. Is this that? You should live a lifestyle this way. Whatever I say, whatever I do, whatever I think, is it pleasing to the ear, to the eyes, and to the hearts of the Lord Jesus Christ? That we call the fear of God. If you open your mouth and begin to gossip, or you begin to say bad things, and if Jesus is sitting there with you, you know, you are in Christ, right? I mean, you are in Christ. Christ is around you. You are having relationship with Christ. If Christ is sitting there, will he smile or will he make his face like, oh, why you say that? I tell you, this is a secret of Christian walk. If you have an intimate relationship with Christ, everything is in Christ, you will be a good disciple of Jesus. we will not have a lot of problems in our church. You will not have a lot of problem out there in the sense of relationship because you fear God. Because you have this truth in your heart all the time that Christ is in you right now. You are in Christ right now. And Christ is listening to what you're talking about. Christ is, you know, sometimes I say something bad, I have to come back home and repent and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that again. God, I know you're listening to me. I cannot run away from you. I am in Christ. All the blessing in your life come from Christ. In Christ only. I want to challenge you tonight to really, really start to have a personal relationship with Christ. Treat Jesus as a person. Like the way I treat Da. A lot of things that I do, I tell you, I really love her and I don't want to hurt her feeling. You know what I mean? I treat her as a person, not just an object in my house. This is, you know, you treat something as an object, then you don't care much. You just throw around and kick. Is that right? But if you treat a person as treat somebody as a person that you love and you care, you will be very careful with that relationship. The same thing, I beg you tonight, begin to walk with Christ every day. Think this way, Christ is with you now, in your sight, inside you by the Holy Spirit. And whatever you think, whatever you say, He knows everything. He knows your mind, He knows your thoughts, He knows what you think about people, He knows what you're talking about. You may be talking about behind my back, about me, He knows. If you talk behind somebody back about somebody, He knows that you're gossiping. He knows that you are doing something wrong. So, again, if you understand that everything is in Christ, you will be very careful. I think this is an important secret of Christian life that we don't talk enough about. Again, I convinced you already that Jesus is God a while ago. Now I want to come to the practical point. He is everything in your life. Therefore, you should do everything to make Him happy. He has done His part. Dying on the cross, suffered so much for you. Every blessing, every victory, every sanctification process, everything that happened to you now, all the good things that happened to you, come only through Him and by Him and in Him. Love Him with all your heart. Live a life to please Him. Let me read a few more, then we close in prayer and we can have dinner together. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Who changed you? How you can be changed? In Christ. Is that right? The Bible, Galatians chapter 2, verse 4 say, our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus. How can we have liberty? In Christ Jesus. You are a son of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Wow. You are all one in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, God who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. How the blessing come to you? In Christ. Now, do you love Jesus more? Do you appreciate Him more? That everything come in, through, by Christ Jesus. Press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You're going to get reward in heaven, not because you are good, but because in Christ Jesus. We may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. And the dead in Christ will rise first. When Jesus comes back, the dead that are going to be resurrected from the ground is those who are in Christ Jesus. Wow. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Jesus. You cannot have the love of God. You cannot have the great faith of God without having a relationship with Christ Jesus. I don't know how many scripture here. 11 pages. All through, in, by Christ Jesus. Amen. So, tonight I think I'm going to wrap up here. You can go. I want to encourage you. You get this paper from your care group leader and read and meditate on this, maybe on for a while. Read the scripture. So you know your position in Christ. You know who you are in Christ. What is your, like for me, I turned to be American citizen about, I think, 8 years ago. Once I turned to American citizen, I have the right to make American passport. I have the right to vote. I have the right to do this and this. Now you are in Christ. You need to know your right. This is your right. Or in this paper. You know what belongs to you. You know what authority you have. You know what kind of person you should be so that you will behave that way. Now I behave like American because I'm an American citizen. Is that right? I know who I am. Everything is in Christ Jesus. So it's good to read the Bible and know who you are, what right you have, what promise in Christ that you have, what authority, what kind of blessing you have, all in the scripture, in, through, by Christ Jesus. Amen. Any question before we close in prayer? Do you learn something tonight? How many people promise that you will start to build deeper relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. How many people really love Jesus? How many people say, Jesus, I love you. Thank you so much for dying for me. Thank you so much that you are the door for the sheep like us to go in through the blessing, go into the newness of life. You are the door for us, Lord. We thank you so much, Lord. We love you and appreciate you. Thank you, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. I want to say one more thing before we end. At the end, we're going to have an offering because we need to pay some people who take care of the kids, and we'll do some, like your care group offering. I want to say last thing before I close here that the Holy Spirit tell me to say. I want to tell you that one of the reason I want to share my heart, one of the reason that I will stay in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, why I never give up on laying on of hands, I will never give up allowing the fire of God to touch people's life. You know, whether you agree with me or not, I'm doing what God called me to do. And I am convinced with all my heart that what I'm doing, that is to allow the fire of God to touch people, maybe a little bit look like loud and messy on Sunday, because I believe that this is the preparation of the bride of Christ in the end time. I believe with all my heart that Christians will have a deeper relationship, knowing Christ by the work, work inside. In working, the work inside of the Holy Spirit. And I want the Holy Spirit to touch you, to minister to you as much as I can, as we open to. Because the more you know Jesus, the more you are hooked up to the Holy Spirit, the more you're going to know Jesus Christ. Because the Spirit of Christ that touch you will make you know Him. I have to admit that I have been a pastor for 23 years now. have gone through phases of being a pastor. And now I come to the conclusion. Pastor Cesar asked me what kind of people we want to produce or make it happen in this church. I come to the conclusion at this time as a pastor that I want to see people in our church. This is the outcome of this church. That people in this church will be hungry for the Word of God. Because you don't know God without knowing the Bible. Two, people in this church will be so thirsty, hungry, and welcoming the touch of the Holy Spirit. Will be Holy Ghost people. And three, people in this church will love fellowship. We love to spend time together because that is the character of God, love. We go to care group not because Bible study, but because we want fellowship. Amen. I want to produce this kind of Christian in this church. Love the Word, hungry for the Word, study the Word, learn the Word of God, be open and be yielding to the Holy Spirit, and love to fellowship, love, want to love people, want to love people around them, walking in love. And I believe these three factors, I'm going to preach this sermon one day, will make you know Christ more and become like Christ. Our goal, in fact, 2 days ago, God told me this. When I meet people, I always ask this question. How are you doing? How is your job? How is your kids? How are your kids? How is your health? I love to ask this question because I care for people. I love people so much. But lately, God said, maybe you should start asking this question. How many people want to know the question? I should ask this question before, how are you doing? How much have you become more like Christ lately? How much have you become more like Christ? Because that should be our goal, is to know Him and to become like Him. And we cannot know Him and become like Him without the Word, without the power of the Holy Spirit, and without fellowship. We need all three. Amen? Some people have to step on our toes in the fellowship sometime so that we can grow up. Amen. So, as long as I live, I will never quit preaching, moving in the fire of God, and quitting the fellowship in the church. We need that. Amen. I proved that already in Bangkok. I start the church with revival right away. The first Sunday, I preach about revival. I can see people move, grow so fast. People know Jesus so fast. I see that I missed the Holy Spirit for years and years in this church. I'm not going to back off. I'm going to go on with the Holy Ghost. Every church we plan from now on, going to start with the fire of God and with the Word of God. No methodology, just go in with the fire. Get people, get touched by the Holy Spirit and know God more. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to close in prayer and then we will do offering. You're going to pass the offering back, and then if you want to have dinner or want to ask any question, I will be around. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I thank you, Lord, for reminding us tonight the reality, the truth of Christ, who is the Messiah, who is the Son of the living God. Father, I pray tonight that everyone in our church now and in the future, and the churches that we will plant, every member, every leader will love Jesus, will please Jesus, will understand the depth of the importance of being in Christ, becoming like Christ and knowing Christ intimately, Lord. Father, Lord, may your Holy Spirit help them to be hungry for the Word of God. May you help them to be open to the fire of God, the Spirit of God. Help them, Father. And may the fellowship in the church be full of love and forgiveness and caring and Lord, supporting each other. In Jesus' mighty name, Amen. God bless you. Let us prepare offering. You can, if you write check, just write check to the church and Hallelujah.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.